Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. We are a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. Please leave a rating and review on wherever, whatever podcast app you're using. We're also on that thing called YouTube, where we do Power Ranger reviews, Star Wars, movie reviews, etc. Other things, also some new things coming to the channel in 2021, including some series reviews of some shows that didn't last but one or two seasons. So that is the show. That is the gimmick. We are, this week, we're capping off the holidays with Santa Jaws, you heard me correctly, The Christmas Contract, and A Christmas Story. So please check us out on all the platforms I mentioned. And of course, if you want to engage with our show and with us, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I would say Facebook and Instagram are the best. We're sometimes on Twitter. And we have a website, podcastnamedtim.com. So I'm Zach. Dad, how are you? Good, sir.
I'm doing fantastic. On this wrestling game.
Yeah, you've been playing some kind of 1980s wrestling booking game you told me about.
80s Mania Wrestling something.
Yay? Nay? Yay?
I mean, it's probably nay, but I'm liking it, so there's...
That's all it matters.
It's made me spend money. Which is unheard of. I usually don't do any game that makes me... And I don't know why I got addicted to buying new things on it. But, I got to stop.
Yeah, you got to stop that. The holidays just happened. You can't be spending money.
It's become an addiction.
I played... You purchased a game called Everdell for me, which is a board game. That's one of my other hobbies on top of all these other wonderful movies and things I watch. I play some board games and video games. So played the first game of Everdell last night with the wife. It was good. Yeah. There's definitely, I can see where some of the rules, it can get a little funky here and there. But basically it's kind of like a card game in some respects. You just need to, you're building a city of like cute little critters in it, you know, bunnies and beavers and mouses and shit. But the whole thing is you want to try and build certain buildings first. Like, I want to build a farm so that I can have the people that go to the farm, because then I can get those cards for free instead of spending more resources to get that. So you're just trying to plan out which buildings to build, and you just want to build the best city. That's it. Ain't too complicated.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it's got the little Evertree, which is a very nice aesthetic piece. So, but that's pretty much it. Played that, did the holidays with the little one. She's toyed out.
I'm holidayed out.
Amen. Amen. We're excited. Excited to put a cap here. Like, this is the last podcast for 2020.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. And we have, if you want to go to our YouTube channel, we should have at least three more videos coming to the YouTube channel. A Mandalorian video, another Power Ranger review, and a channel update, so you can see what's going to be coming to the channel in 2021. So you should go to the YouTube and type in a podcast named Tim. Ah. Yes, 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 yes. Well, what else? I know we've been watching a million different things here and there. Is there anything before we get into these movies that you'd like to highlight?
Well, I won't even get into the Christmas stuff because that's all the normal stuff. Mm-hmm. We are still watching the rewatch of Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize how much I had missed. I was a Whovian before. Now I'm really a Whovian. We're just starting season 4, so the last of my favorite Doctor, David Tennant. So that's going to be a sad one. And I've been watching The Travelers with Eric McCormick. Yes, Will from Will and Grace. Except for he is not playing anywhere near the same character. It's on Netflix. It's a good show. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking about I'm finishing up Fighting Foodons for a YouTube thing, and started The Wife on The Clone Wars, and we'll be doing some reviews on that on YouTube. But just to fill the Star Wars gap that's now in my schedule with no more Mando. But thinking about starting The Expanse, which a couple of friends of mine have really been pumping it up lately. So thinking about doing that. Or I might finally bite the bullet and go back and watch Star Trek The Next Generation. I've never watched the show. I've watched all the movies for Star Trek The Next Generation, but I've never watched the show.
Well, that might be a good... I don't know if that time coming up, but...
Yeah, I might not have time coming up. So maybe in the spring. I don't know about you, but I think we should start with The Christmas Contract.
I was just waiting to hit the button to see where I was going. I'm good with that.
Okay, well, before we do that, again, this week it's going to be Santa Jaws, The Christmas Contract, and A Christmas Story. But we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So The Christmas Contract came out in 2018. It is a TV PG show. I think it was a, I don't remember if it was Hallmark or Lifetime. I think this was a Hallmark one. 1 hour and 29 minute runtime, a 6.9 on IMDb, a no tomato meter score, but a 61 from the audience score there. And you can probably guess the plot by throwing a dart at a wall. A recently single woman dreads the thought of going back to her hometown in Louisiana for Christmas when she finds out her ex-boyfriend will be there with his new girlfriend. Directed by Monica Mitchell and stars some people. Let's just put it that way. Stars some people that probably make a lot of Hallmark movies and Lifetime movies. This was my selection for the week. I've never really dove into the Lifetime Hallmark movie bonanza, but I figured it would be inappropriate not to talk about one during the holidays, because it is such a big part of some people's Christmases. So what did you think of The Christmas Contract?
It was a Christmas movie. No sex and nudity, no violence and gore, no profanity, no alcohol, drugs, and smoking. Just had simple story. Did it have much of a plot? No. Is it a plot that's been done a million times by Hallmark and Lifetime? Absolutely. But again, as I've said on the previous podcast, during Christmas, I give things a little more leeway because I don't want all that at Christmas. If I want that kind of Christmas movie, I turn on Die Hard. It's just not, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And the wife and I sat here and enjoyed it. Cute little story. Yeah, I didn't care one way or another, or whatever, as long as it was, you know, just a nice little Christmas feeling. And there was. So at the end, I was happy I watched it. I'll never watch it again. Which, I mean, I could just pick any of the other movies and I'll just have different people doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's fine now. So it was okay.
What percentage of people in Hallmark movies, these kind of movies, do you think that their profession is author?
I don't know.
It's probably pretty high, right?
These people. I knew Robert Buckley because I watched iZombie, and he was a big guy in iZombie. And I knew Jason London. I didn't know the female girl at all, the lead.
Well, you knew Richie Montgomery.
I did know Richie, and Bruce Boxleitner, of course, who used to be the young guy that would have been in this movie as the romantic lead, and now he's become the fathers in these movies. But yeah, I saw Richie. Yeah, Richie Montgomery. Wow, what a busy guy.
Yeah, he is going to be featured in another movie we're talking about this week. So this is the Richie Montgomery Christmas special. All by accident.
Ahead of time, I would have personally looked for a third one.
Yeah, all by accident. Yeah, it was fine, like you said. Standard affair from most of these movies. I actually thought that the acting was not bad overall. Yeah. I actually think the worst actor might have been the sister that was hooking them up.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or actress, but I thought Robert Buckley was good looking guy. Played the role correctly. I was getting a little nervous as we were watching the movie because it was an hour and 7 minutes in, and I was like, they haven't done the big you fall out of love so that you can fall back in love moment. They kind of waited a long time on that. So I was a little concerned. I was like, are we not going to have any kind of conflict in this movie? It's just going to go straight through.
Right.
But 1,000%, it is on that the lady, whatever her name was, Jolie. Why did you tell your ex-boyfriend that you were in a fake relationship with this other guy, especially when you knew you had to start to have feelings? Why? And Mr. Robert Buckley, Jack Friedman, he had the notes about the book in his pocket earlier. Keep them there. Or if you're done with the book, throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Easy solutions to these problems.
But then again, that was the only slight plot there was to the thing. So let's be glad that he didn't.
Yeah, just, you know, it was like, come on, man.
So apparently this is a One Tree Hill reunion. I guess a bunch of these people were in One Tree Hill. That's why a lot of the people that watched this movie, they also were OTH fans. Because I saw several people talking about that it was an OTH reunion and blah, 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 blah. So I've never watched One Tree Hill, so I don't know who was in it. But
my wife watches One Tree Hill, and she watches it with me. She mentioned the guy who sang was I know she mentioned him specifically because I guess he sang on there as well.
Jack London?
Sure.
Jason London, I mean.
No clue.
He might have been on One Tree Hill.
Tyler Hilton? Is that his name?
I don't know.
I think it's Tyler Hilton.
I don't know.
I don't know none of these people, but yes, she mentioned him specifically. She didn't mention some of the other people, so I might have to call her out on her fandom. Yeah, it was fine. I always find it weird in movies, maybe because I don't know how often this happens in real life. What would you really want to try and set up your brother with your best friend?
My brother with my best friend, yeah, but I would never set up my brother with a sister.
I don't know. I feel like it's inviting conflict because if it goes wrong, they're both going to be angry at you.
Right, right. That's why I don't set up nobody.
That's right. That's all on you all.
Your love life ain't my problem.
They have apps for these things now.
That's right. You pay good money to find a woman.
It was fine.
It was what it was.
It was fine. It was not terrible.
Cute little silly holiday movie. The only thing it was missing was the lead man is the Miz. If the Miz had been the lead man, this thing would have skyrocketed. But you know,
nope.
They do the casting.
I think it was missing something else now that I'm thinking about it. And I know they're in Louisiana, so you can't really get away with that. But it didn't snow, right? Did it snow?
No, but again, like, it doesn't snow in the bayou very often.
If I'm getting a Christmas movie, damn it, about love, I want some damn snow when they're kissing.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
Sorry. Nope. No snow.
No snow.
But none of the horrible things that I mentioned at the start. So it was a Christmas movie.
Yes.
If you want to watch one of these, this one would be a bad one to watch.
Yes. And it's free on Amazon Prime.
There you go.
Speaking about free on Amazon Prime, there's a little movie called Santa Jaws, which you recommended. Came out in 2018, TVPG. Which I'm surprised that it says PG for the rating, but whatever. 1 hour and 28 minute runtime, a 3.8 on the IMDb score, and a 52 from the audience there on Rotten Tomatoes, no tomato meter. It says, trying to survive the family Christmas, Cody makes a wish to be alone, which ends up backfiring when a shark manifests and kills his entire family. And stars Reed Miller, Courtney Lauren, Cummings, Jim Clark, Carrie Lazar, etc., etc. And, of course, a boy, Richie Montgomery.
And a damn fine Santa Claus.
Yeah. Will- yeah. What? This was your selection. I'll let you go first. What did you think of Misty Talley's Santa Jaws?
This is what I wanted from Killer Piñata.
Oh, much better. Yeah.
This is what I wanted. I liked this movie. It made me laugh. It was not as cheesy. It actually was not as cheesy as I thought it was going to be. Yes, the I think they should not have revealed the shark as often as they did the full body shark. But look, for what it is and the budget it probably had, I didn't think it was all that bad. You know, again, I would never go to plop down $10 to go see it in a theater, but to plop it on free on Prime, yeah, you know, why not?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot of it. It was, so I guess we should say the way this shark manifests, it's not just a wish. It is there. His grandfather gives him a magic pen because he likes to draw. He's an artist.
It was Death Note.
Yeah, it was Death Note mixed with Dream Warriors mixed with Home Alone. So he draws this shark and is talking about how he doesn't want his family to be around anymore because he's angry, which, if I remember correctly, the mom was popping off about something that she should have just chilled the fuck down about.
For sure.
I think it wasn't anything like crazy that the kid did. Oh, he drew a picture of his like principal and put it online, showing like a little comic of him being an asshole. Not a groundable offense during the holidays.
Or any other time.
Yeah,
his crime was he got caught.
Yeah. But yeah, so then the shark manifests. And, you know, of course, everyone decides, one, they are in a harbor community, but everyone is like, let's go down to the water. Let's keep going down to the water.
Yeah.
Let's not stay on land, which would have been great if the shark would have come on land at some point. That's what we need in Santa Jaws 2.
Well, we already have Land Shark and I forgot the other one, so I don't know if they'll rip that off or not, but hey, you know. The fin with the Santa hat on it swimming around brought a joy inside of me like the Grinch's heart growing every time I saw it.
And the little sleigh bells playing. That was great. I liked the whole like Dream Warrior aspect where he figures out he's got to use the pen to try and defeat the monster. It didn't quite work. I was like, why don't you keep going at it? You're on the right path here, but I liked that idea. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. They also had said, like, I guess normal weapons wouldn't work against Santa Jaws.
Right.
So they had to use Christmas themed armament. And so they like put like a grenade or something in a decoration, and they had to put like tinsel on the bow, crossbow and stuff.
Look, I thought it was clever.
I thought it was fun.
Was it a bad shark movie? Uh-huh. But bad shark movies are fantastic nowadays. And this was a good bad shark movie.
Well,
and he's still Christmasing on it. Fun.
I wanted to speak about that. Did you go look at the director, Misty Talley? Did you go look at her IMDb page?
I did not.
Let me read you a few movies that this woman has directed.
All right.
Ghost Shark, Shark Island, Ozark Sharks, Mississippi River Sharks, Santa Jaws. Oh My God, I'd miss something. Do you know what she also directed?
No.
How did we? There's no way. No. Okay. It said that she also directed. Wait, I have to confirm this. Hold on. Beep. First point I was making was she directed a lot of shark movies. So this is definitely in her wheelhouse. But I don't know how we missed this, sir. Do you know what we missed?
No.
Interesting. So on the Christmas contract page, it says Monica Mitchell directed it. But if you go to Misty Talley's page, it says that she directed the Christmas contract. So I'm wondering if Misty Talley is like one of those pseudonames that she uses to direct her shark movies.
Well,
and
she did do that. She's done a lot of Christmas movies. She's produced and edited Christmas Wish, Christmas in Louisiana, Hometown Christmas, Christmas in Mississippi.
But she uses a different name.
Huh.
I wonder what that's about. Okay. I caught the shark thing. I did not catch that because the names were different, which would make sense why Brigitte Montgomery was in both.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's actually done quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, she's just an editor in this, but she did a movie called Flying Monkeys.
Well, she edited, I think she said she also edited Jeepers Creepers 3.
Well, I'll be doggone. Where can we watch on Prime Video? I believe I'll be watching Flying Monkeys when we get off here.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that she had done so many different shark movies. So clearly it was something that she knew the
wonder
parameters
if
the of.
Shark she used.
You said what?
I wonder if it's the same shark she used.
Probably. It's like one graphic, one 3D image has been created. So they'll keep making it. And same, yeah, with the. The effects.
Yeah, it says here she gained the honor of being the first woman to direct a Sci-Fi Channel original movie.
Wow.
Zombie Shark, which was accepted into the Cannes Shorts Film Festival.
There you go.
So, Misty Talley, why do we not know her?
I don't know, but now we do.
We're going to have to check her out.
So there's a little plug. Yeah, I enjoyed Santa Jaws. It was a lot of
well,
fun.
Well, now we might also know why Richie Montgomery was in both of them.
I just said that, homie.
Well, I was reading your page. I'm sorry. I must have missed that. So anyway, yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and, yes, find Santa Jaws. Watch it. It's fun.
Yeah, definitely. It deserves more than 3.8. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'd be willing to watch a sequel.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, I don't want the same people. It needs to move on upstream and or have some. Maybe it had a baby that's gonna take revenge.
Yeah, maybe we should do like piranhas next time.
No, I was sticking with the shark thing.
Well, I just, you know, trying to have some fun.
All right. Anyway.
Maybe Santa Jaws can come back and be the hero next time, like a Terminator 2 situation, and he'll defeat the piranhas.
Gotcha.
Well, let's hop to our last film, a Christmas classic, which we'll discuss. It's entitled A Christmas Story. It has a PG rating, 1 hour and 33-minute runtime. Came out in 1983, a 7.9 on IMDb, an 89 on the tomato meter, an 88 from the audience score. You probably know the story. And in the 1940s, young Ralphie is trying to get a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas, and everyone just keeps telling him he'll shoot his eye out. Of course, directed by Bob Clark. Stars Melinda Dillon, Darren McGavin. Where's the big... Where's...
Peter Billingsley.
Thank you. I was looking for his name. They put him at the bottom of the IMDb page.
Because it's and as Ralphie, Peter Billingsley, who is in two famous Christmas movies. What's the other one?
That I don't know. Oh, he's in Bad Santa, right?
No.
No. Elf?
Elf.
There you go. I knew it was one of those. I don't remember what he did in that. What did he was an elf, right?
He was the elf that comes, he's like the head elf that comes to the guy and says, you know, can you help me pick up the slack, but he's killing me. And you're building.
Okay. Okay.
Now he's in two Christmas movies.
He's in some other movies too.
But Amy and I, well, yeah, he's in some Jason Bateman movies. I think they're maybe buddies. Okay. So Amy and I were discussing this.
Okay.
King of the Christmas movies. And she said, well, you know, he was in two, so he must be. And I said, no, Tim Allen is the king of the Christmas movies because you got Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3 and Christmas with the Cranks.
Do we need to count that?
I love Christmas with the Cranks. I watched it the other day and by myself even. And that's a funny movie.
It's better than Deck the Halls. So I'll give you that.
Did you watch Deck the Halls?
I've seen Deck the Halls.
I've seen it, but I've done one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I messed up your introduction to this fine film.
No. I just want to say, you know, it's a phenomenon of a movie because it's the only movie, I think, that every single person on the face of the earth watches not sitting down in one sitting. It's the only movie where people just watch 2 minutes here and 2 minutes there and there. And somehow we all know what the movie is.
Ted Turner.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted Turner. We have Mr. TBS himself and TNT. But yeah, somehow this is like, it's just a weird movie because it's the only movie where it's like acceptable to not watch it sitting like the whole way through.
So I was also talking about this. Not that I run all my things by other people before I get them to you. It's usually I don't. Okay. Was this movie a success and a known great movie before Turner put it on for the 24-hour cycle? Or did it become it after? Because I don't remember. I don't remember if I don't remember anything about this movie before the Turner thing. I don't remember. I'm sure I saw it, but I don't.
Well, I mean, that's just what everyone associates it with at this point.
Right. But I'm just saying, did he buy a big, huge blockbuster fantastic movie that everybody loved and stuck it on? Or did he buy a cheap movie that he got cheap that was okay, everybody kind of knew it, put it on, and now everybody, it's a classic for everybody? Because it's, you know, it's your stepdad's favorite Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Always said that he loves this movie. It's I like it. It's nothing. I mean, it's definitely a great movie.
It's, I mean, look, it says right here, it says, look, and it came out the week before Thanksgiving to moderate success, earning $2 million its opening weekend. Yeah, it just says it was a moderate success, but it also says because holiday themed films at the time were not very popular.
Okay. So maybe I'm correct. Maybe it was just okay, and it was kind of it wasn't as expensive as some other ones. Turner bought it, owned the rights, and stuck it on there so his programmers didn't have to worry about making programs on Christmas. Because I know my record, and I'm sure there's somebody out there can beat it. My record is 8 straight times watching this. I was one of the years that one of the wives, don't remember which one, went out of town, and I was there by myself on Christmas, and I just decided, let's see how many times I can watch it. So no, I didn't sit and stare at it, but it was on the television for 8 straight times, and finally after that I had to be done with it. But so the record's 8. I challenge somebody to beat that.
I think you have me for sure. Because like you said, you watch it because you go to different houses throughout the day, and because of our unique family dynamics, I go to a lot of different houses. And
extended families.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, you might catch the end of the movie at one house and then the middle of the movie and then this other part. And then by the end of the day, somehow you've watched the whole movie. But it's the only movie that's like, it's weird because in some respects it helps it because it makes the scenes that you watch, you remember those specific scenes. Like that's the great thing about this movie. I could run through all the different scenes. I don't know if I could tell you the actual order this movie happens in.
See, I think Christmas Vacation's like that too.
Oh, this is more out of order watching. But I mean, you've got the lamp. Getting the lamp. You've got him sitting on Santa's lap and being pushed down. You've got the various different flashback memory visions of him. You've got fudge and getting the soap. Him shooting his eye out at the end, him beating the shit out of that kid, the tongue on the pole.
I'm waiting for that one, because that's like one of the most famous ones.
I mean, again, I don't know if I could tell you the order those things happen in. Drink your Ovaltine. I mean, it's got so many weird...
If you listed all those on a paper, I could put them in order.
Yeah, but it's weird, because it's like a movie of like vignettes in some respect. Because of the way people view it.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And I don't know any other movie. I mean, I could probably do Star Wars like that, but that's just because I've seen it a million times already.
Right.
And it's weird because it's one of those movies where, okay, it did all right at the film box, you know, at the box office. But then, you know, it's now a Christmas classic. Some people think it's the best Christmas movie.
Oh yeah, a lot of people do.
And it is in the National Film Registry. It is in the Library of Congress for being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. So you're doing something right at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have a favorite moment?
Rah 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 rah.
Okay. That's a good one.
Oh no, when he chops then grabs the duck head and chops it. Yeah, I don't know, that's funny, but yeah, no, the whole thing's too many to mention.
Is it overrated? Because I'm sure there's people who think that.
Nah, I don't think so.
Did it deserve a sequel?
No, and I've never watched a sequel.
I've never watched it either. I refuse. Did you watch
the live version?
Did I watch what?
Did you watch the live version?
No. I have only ever watched this version of the film.
No, I didn't watch anything with this one. This falls into that category of movies that I have never and will never watch the sequel. Which another Christmas movie, Christmas Vacation 2, I've never watched. And
Grease.
And Grease 2, yes. Exactly right. Movies I'm just not going to watch the sequel to.
We might break that this year.
No, we won't.
Well, yeah.
Unless you make all three of those on the same show and call it that, then I'll do it.
I was going to do a movies an episode. I was going to pitch you later in the year on doing a movies I will never watch, and I was going to do that for you, and I was going to do Dragon Ball Evolution.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Which I cut off. I attempted to watch, and I cut off within 15 seconds. And
that doesn't count then. Because
that
you
doesn't
tried.
Count?
Nope. You tried. I have never put 1 second of those three movies I mentioned on.
Oh, man. Well, so, yeah.
Your intent was there. You just didn't follow through. So that doesn't count.
Yes. So yeah, I guess we have to thank Mr. Billionaire Ted for making this part of everyone's Christmas holiday so people can have little mini lamps. Would you put that lamp in your house?
Never.
Never? You wouldn't Never. Display it in your front bay
that,
window?
That is one of the gaudiest things I've ever seen.
But it's a major award.
And it's fragile.
It is, which is probably the one quote I use from this all the time.
Yeah, I do say that.
Yeah, this is absolutely a Christmas classic. It is not my favorite Christmas movie, but it is mandatory viewing on Christmas Day.
It's in the Big Five.
Yeah. It may be number five, but it's in the Big Five.
Well, Alex has finally chosen a favorite Christmas movie.
Okay. I look forward to hearing this.
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way is a fantastic film.
You said it's underrated. It should be everyone's favorite Christmas movie. I was surprised. I was like, really?
May I make a bold statement?
Absolutely.
This might be Bob Clark's second best Christmas movie.
What's his first one?
Black Christmas.
Oh, I'm trying to forget. I always forget that he did that. Because they don't go together at all.
No, they don't.
It's like, it'd be like making a Christmas movie of love and then a Christmas movie with a shark. What madness would cause the same person to ever do that?
Yeah. Let's also talk about the unique IMDb history of Mr. Bob Clark for one moment. Because I don't know when we're going to be doing another one of his movies, because I think we both agree we don't like Porky's. Do you know what else he made in 1999?
No.
Baby Geniuses.
Ah.
And he did the sequel.
Which is horrid.
Yes. What a unique history of film. A very unique history of film.
Yeah, that's quite the gambit there.
I'm looking at his... Hold on. We might have to watch another one of his movies.
Gotta get you off IMDb.
Oh, wait. No, just look. Listen. Listen to this. This is his first feature-length film that he did. It came out in 1967. It's called She-Man, A Story of Fixation. A soldier is forced to take estrogen and wear lingerie when he's blackmailed by a violent transvestite.
All right, I'm in.
Pride Month, here we come. And I'm looking at the picture here.
Yeah.
It says Gender Bender double feature. So it was released as a double feature with Sins of Rachel. Whatever that is.
That sounds familiar.
So She-Man, a story of fixation.
Well,
so maybe Flying Monkeys needs to take a back burner for the day. And you need to find this movie.
That's funny because I was just typing in Flying Monkeys on Amazon Prime as you were saying that and found it. Oh, it's $5.99 to rent.
No.
When school grad Joan receives a pet monkey from her dad, she has no idea that when the sun goes down, her fuzzy friend turns into a giant man-eating flying monkey. It's a good thing that her pet is her pet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, fun. That's all I think we have reached the end of 2020 at this point. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
This has a 4-star rating on Amazon Prime.
Sir, She-Mail has a 4.3 on IMDb. Or She-Man.
Well, this is 4 stars.
Oh, okay. Well, that's 4 stars. 4.3 out of 10.
I don't think that's stars.
Well, I got nothing else at this point.
What else do I have? Do I have anything? Just my... while we were away for our little holiday hiatus, I had the opportunity to speak to one Karen Amy Pond Gillen for a very short little time. That was fun.
Very cool. Very cool.
I think I got enough words out of her to put together, I love a podcast named Tim.
Hey, let's make it happen.
But yeah, I don't know. That's about it. I'm ready to get on with the next year. I don't know why everybody's looking so forward to 2021. They seem to think like some gate's going to close and all the badness is going to disappear, like Thanos snapped his fingers or something.
Well, yeah, here's the good thing. In this upcoming year, everyone listening to this can subscribe to our YouTube channel, and they can join us through the journey through 2021.
Yeah, I mean, there's already 4,000 views on this thing. So
that's right. We just started.
Yeah, so bam.
And we're on the march. We're on the march to whatever. Lots of people. Yes. Oh man. Well, we will see you all next time on a pod. Oh, I guess we should talk about what we're watching next week.
Great. Say whoa.
That's what happens when you take like 2 weeks off. You forget what you're doing. So next week we decided with all the big movies dropping on all the streaming services, we would give them a little bit of our love. So we're going to be watching Disney Plus Soul, which is the new Jamie Foxx Pixar movie.
And tomorrow
we're going to be watching, it's out now.
I know, but I won't watch it with kids.
Oh, yes. We're going to be watching that. We're going to be watching We Can Be Heroes, which
I'm
is the
that tomorrow,
which is the sequel everyone asked for to, or the sequel is not the best way to describe it. It's in the same universe as Sharkboy and Lava Girl. It's on Netflix.
Continuing episodes.
Yes.
Of that. Yeah, those people.
Were you trying to do the Star Trek look? Is who?
George Lopez.
No, George Lopez.
All right, I'm in.
What? But do you know who is in it?
Carlos Mencena?
No. And I didn't see Danny Trejo, which I was very surprised about. Pedro Pascal is in it.
Which he's also...
He's also in
Wonder Woman 84,
which is the other movie we're going to be discussing
last night.
Yeah, from HBO Max, I'm sure, because you didn't have to go to the theaters.
I did not go to the theater,
or as Bruce Prichard would say, the theater.
Yeah, the gigantic $8 Coke and a tub of Plague. I did not feel like having.
Well, I have an extra movie to watch. Tonight, I'm watching Wonder Woman, the first one, because I haven't seen it, so I can watch Wonder Woman 1984. Oh, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. So, yes, next week, Soul, We Can Be Heroes, and Wonder Woman 84.
WW84.
Yes. So, very excited. I've spoiled it somewhat. I've watched some reviews before I watched it. Because some people had some faces on their screens. You know how they do little screenshots for professional YouTubers?
You talking about Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Well, I run the gambit on the people that I talk to and listen to about movies. It is from one spectrum to the other.
The same. So I will
share my placement of it next week.
Yes, same here. Well, let's get to it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. And we'll see you all next week here on a podcast named Tim. Goodbye.